Take your Bibles and find, if you would, the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I want to speak to you about our anchor points for growth. What about growth in the future? We have grown spiritually. I would say that we have grown spiritually more than we have numerically and more than we have financially. And I like that. I want all three. But if I had to put them on a totem pole of what's the most important, spiritual growth is most important. You are well-taught people. And it's nothing that I would ever take the credit for, nor pastor, nor his father. But when the Word of God is upheld and preached and lived and applied, God's church grows. It grows in spiritual maturity, and that's important. Now, anytime something starts, it starts out with a bang, and the early church is no different. Let's begin reading in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word, whose word? Well, God's word found in Peter's sermon. I recently brought out the biblical truths of Peter's sermon. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wouldn't it be great if we had one Sunday, 3,000 people come and join? That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? We wouldn't know what to do. We couldn't even fit them in the parking lot. Our building wouldn't hold them, neither would our parking lot. It'd be a great problem to have. We're going to talk about how we can see more people saved here in just a few moments. And they continued. Now, this is the phrase that really stood out to me. And they continued steadfastly. Now, I want to stop right there and let you know that the word continued means that they agreed to hold on to certain specific anchor points, I call them. And they're listed in that verse for us. I hope that you'll check them off. The apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued in breaking bread. And they continued in prayers. And we need the same checkpoints. We need the very same anchor points. And we practice them. We can practice some better than we're doing now. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. There was apostolic authority. The word of God had not been completed yet. And so there were miracles and signs and wonders being performed by the apostles. And sold their possessions. I recently mentioned about Barnabas selling a parcel of his property on Cyprus and giving it to the church. And that's the way people did. In the early church, it was getting started. And parted them to all men, and every man as every man had need. In other words, they became a community. Now this is not the way God designed for us. By the way, the hermeneutic of this is you never take one instance when the church is getting started and make a model out of it. So we all shouldn't live in the same commune. When you talk about someone living in a compound, a religious organization, it's usually a cult, isn't it? It's usually trouble. Look at verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If we desire church growth, it would be good for us to look at this pattern that we call checkpoints or anchor points. It holds the church together. The church, the early church, experienced phenomenal growth. The power of God was overflowing in people's lives. They were excited about what God was doing. These four anchor points that we read in our text should be exercised in every local church today. You see, these checkpoints, these anchor points, are not outdated. They are greatly needed in the church. And these anchor points, when we see them, we should put them into practice in our life. We should be thankful that our church exercises them and that we have the privilege of even exercising some of them independently. So let me show you two things quickly. One, let's look at the anchor points that I mentioned, that's mentioned in verse 42 that I brought out to you. The first one is they remain steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Since doctrine is mentioned first, the law of first mention is important. And we can conclude that doctrine matters. We live in a culture where they have been teaching us for years. We're the postmodern group now. We're living postmodernism that came in the early 19th century, late 1800s, early 1900s. We're now people of that genre, that group of people. And sound doctrine is so important. We choose not to leave doctrine at the door. We choose to make much of doctrine because the Bible teaches that pastors should be preaching and teaching sound doctrine. Too much is found in the New Testament. Paul told young Timothy, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering." When you hear preaching, sometimes preaching can get real close to us. Sometimes it can reveal our sin. Sometimes it can rebuke us. It can reprove us, or it can exhort us, or it can encourage us to be longsuffering. And when we preach it, we should preach it with patience. We should preach it knowing that sometimes it takes people more than one time hearing their sin preached on before they would repent. And so we patiently, but we persistently, and by the power of God and not by the energy of the flesh, continue preaching so that people can understand the practical aspects of the Christian life and walk in the Spirit. I like what Tozer said. Great saints have always been dogmatic. We need to return to a gentle dogmatism that smiles while it stands stubbornly and firmly on the Word of God, end quote. I like that. So it has to be done compassionately and in love. Not all the time when Jesus preached in the temple did he preach with a smile on his face. You and I remember him one day chasing people out with a whip, overturning the money changers' tables. Jesus had to deal with sin. And pastors have to do it. That pastor has to be faithful at doing it. Nobody gets a pass. We're all under the authority of the Word of God. And so when we come, we hear the truth about our lives and what we should be doing. They remain steadfast in fellowship. Fellowship is a great word. It means partnership. Literally, it means to participate together. Socially, it means to communicate together. And monetarily, it even refers to the distribution of needs together. But it's all together. And then they remain steadfast in verse 42, if you look at it, breaking bread together. This is the ordinance of communion. It reminds them to look back at the cross and what the cross did for them. We'll have communion in a couple of weeks, and it reminds us to look back. And then here's the key, and one that I think is so vitally important. They remain steadfast in prayers. You know, without a doubt, we know how to fellowship. Without a doubt, we know how to have a communion service. And without a doubt, we know doctrine. And I can say without doubt, none of us pray enough. And that's sad. We ought to get serious about prayerlessness. It brings powerlessness into our life as we try to work out our problems. So prayer requests are important. Praying for people to be saved, for the Great Commission, that we exercise it ourselves. The paid staff are not paid soul winners. Missionaries are not paid soul winners. We are commissioned as a church, you and me, to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. We are to be making disciples. We together are to be bringing them down. Sheep reproduce sheep. Shepherds can't reproduce sheep. Now, I am a sheep because I'm a member of the church. So I'm with you with this. And you and I have a mandate from Jesus Christ. But most of the time, we're so overwhelmed with all the things that we have to do in life, busy schedule, work, ball games, school, extracurricular, fine arts, piano practice, flute practice, all the things that we do. The Lord, may the Lord calm us all down and realize that, hey, we're to be soul winners. We're to be telling others about Christ, praying for every member to become faithful, to use their gifts and talents here in our local church. Pray that every church member will take my sermon seriously on this theme of being good stewards. Become givers, grace givers, going beyond the call of duty. Pray for our student body to reach 240, 245, and 250. And every time we have about five over, it's another $30,000 that we have that we will be able to use. Because of vouchers, our school is mandated to do a lot of things when it comes to testing. It takes personnel. It takes getting people educated. The office becomes unbelievably busy, not counting tardiness and Band-Aids and minor emergencies and discipline issues. And so it's a huge responsibility. People work hard here, very hard, hours and hours. And I'm grateful for it. And sometimes I feel bad for our staff sometimes and our faculty. And that's what I appreciate about our faculty when they don't get here 5 minutes before their class begins and leave 5 minutes after. Their heart is here. This is a ministry. This is not a job. We wouldn't want anybody to think that this is a job. This is a ministry. This is a privilege to serve. If you wanted to make more money and have a job, you could leave this place and make a whole lot more money. But you choose to do it that way. And our church should be thankful for 30-something employees, 37 employees, that they look at this as a ministry. And I'm grateful for it. We need to thank the Lord for it. These are your servants and serving you and your children, your grandchildren, and you spiritually. It's a joy. Now, what is the results of holding on to these anchor points? When we read the text, we found three things, and they're simple. Number one, hearts were open. The power of the gospel opened hearts. People got saved. The preaching of truth, they became prayer warriors. They wanted to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They wanted to speak the truth in love. They were willing to take the apostles' doctrine and apply it to their lives. They were not skeptics. They were under too much persecution. They didn't come to church to see who was here and who wasn't here. They didn't come to church to look at the bulletin and see if we met the weekly budget or not, and then talk about it. That's not why they were there. They were there to hear the preaching and let the Word of God sink into them and change them. They saw miracles in verse 43. And the people enjoyed ministry in verse 40, or unity in verse 46. They continued daily with one accord. Look at it there and underscore it in your Bible. You see, coming together is a beginning. Staying together is progress. And working together is success. And that's what we do here. And it's a procedure. It's a constant procedure. Not only did we see that hearts were open, but we saw hands were open also in verses 44 and 45. As they had all things in common, and they opened their hands, and they helped one another. And then lastly, their homes were open. They were house to house, breaking bread together, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And what did God do in the end? Allowed them to praise Him, and with favor. God gave them favor. Look at verse 47. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Because these people opened their hearts, opened their hands, opened their homes. These people were touched by the power of the gospel. It changed their life. And that's what it should do to us. It should change our life. You know people that's unsaved, and you've got an influence in their life. Explaining the gospel tract to them. Having coffee with them. Doing something so that you can be responsible. If every one of us became responsible to reach one person this year, get them down the aisle, their salvation made public in the baptistry, they're marked for discipleship, and in our church membership, we would not be able to hold this time next year in this meeting. We would not be able to have this meeting in this room if just everyone won one and brought them full circle from being unsaved, power of the gospel, getting saved in the baptistry, in the church, sitting in your Sunday school class, listening to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God in this church. They would have an opportunity to grow in their faith and get their children under the sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and their children get saved. And perhaps, maybe, one of those children would hear the call of God in their life and go on to the mission field, or hear a call of God in their life and become an evangelist or pastor, or give their life to teach in a Christian school. These are the greatest days to serve. We are serving in some of the greatest days in history. Don't complain. Everything is bad. Washington, D.C. is a swamp. It's horrible at work. My family don't get along. You take those three pills every night and you'll wake up ill every day. You'll never wake up well. You got to get beyond that. These are great days. Be thankful. You're taking in breath. Be thankful, and then determine to have an open heart and an open hand, an open home, and be a real New Testament Christian that's going to see other people saved. May God help us to grow our church. This is all of our responsibility, and we all have a hand in it. May God help us to do it. Would you stand with me, please?